640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. A scary situation at the Vatican today, where a driver's been arrested for plowing through security gates. CBS's Anna Matrenga is in Rome with the latest.
A speeding car rammed through one of the gates leading into the Vatican on Thursday night, managing to reach a courtyard inside Vatican City. Vatican police stationed at the gate fired at the vehicle, but were unable to stop it.
It's not clear if Pope Francis was anywhere near this. An FDA panel has voted unanimously to recommend a shot that protects babies from RSV. Moms would have to take it while pregnant. This could take months for the FDA to decide, but if approved, it would be the first vaccine that safeguards babies against the deadly virus. RSV kills hundreds of kids every year. Meantime, Mpox is spreading again, but reporter Sabrina Cupid tells us vaccines are promising.
The vaccine called Jynneos proves to be effective against Mpox, as the CDC's Christopher Braden.
Jynneos provides substantial protection against Mpox regardless of how it was administered or whether the recipient was immunocompromised.
He says efficacy was up to 75% after one dose, 86% after the second dose. CDC is urging those considered high risk to get vaccinated, as they fear we could see a surge in new cases this summer.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has put Congress on notice over debt limit negotiations, which means we could have a deal soon.
I am hopeful that soon both sides will find an agreement that keeps default completely off the table. We've made good progress this week, but the work continues. No one will get everything they want.
They're still butting heads over spending cuts. President Biden says he's still in the loop on talks in Washington while meeting with world leaders at the G7. CBS's Elizabeth Palmer is in Japan.
The very top of the agenda is continuing support for Ukraine. The United States wants to see real solidarity among all the nations here. One senior administration official described it as turning the screws on Russia.
Weezer performed for writers still striking in Hollywood. The band played for picketers outside of Paramount Pictures yesterday. Last week, it was Imagine Dragons at Netflix. The strike's been going on for 3 weeks now as a Writers Guild fights for better pay. And actors could join them next month when their union contract expires. Here's entertainment attorney Jonathan Handel.
The actors and directors share many of the issues that have led the writers to go out on strike. Residuals, increases in minimums to meet inflation, the looming threat of AI.
SAG's contract expires at the end of June. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Transform yourself and your fitness routine with Soulful Fitness in Brown Deer. With 25 years of experience, Lisa and her team at Soulful Fitness offer personal training in a variety of classes, including nutrition, kickboxing, boot camps, and yoga. You'll find a private, personalized atmosphere that caters to all fitness levels, from personal training sessions to virtual classes and everywhere in between. For fitness that's personal, visit soulfulfitness.com. That's S-O-L-F-U-L fitness.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. Hazy skies today are due to smoke from Canadian wildfires. The National Weather Service says the worst of it is in the north. Meanwhile, the smoke is making for some colorful sunsets. Proposed changes to Wisconsin's shared revenue system just got better for most local communities. The latest version of the bill passed the Assembly last night. It increases their boost from 10% to 15%. But Democrats like Greta Neubauer say it's not ready for prime time.
It's not the solution to our challenges that people in Wisconsin deserve. And to some, it might be a fiscal band-aid, but it comes with unnecessary and damaging strings attached.
Now, Senate Republican leaders say they'll take out a requirement that Milwaukee and Milwaukee County hold referendums to raise local sales taxes. In sports, the Cardinals beat the Brewers last night 3-0. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Welcome to Mount Pleasant in Racine County, your next vacation and business destination. Just 30 miles south of Milwaukee and 60 miles north of Chicago, Mount Pleasant offers scenic parks, an outstanding hiking and biking trail system, and plenty of dining, entertainment, and shopping options. But Mount Pleasant also offers endless opportunities for economic growth, making it the perfect place to establish your company. Help celebrate the sixth season grand opening of the Franksville Craft Beer Garden on May 19th. Log on, enjoymtpleasant.org.
Finding great people to hire is like trying to find a needle in a haystack. It's pretty difficult, right? Well, ZipRecruiter has mastered finding a needle in a haystack. So they take it to the next level. They make hiring so simple that it's like finding a needle in a needle stack. And that's why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/free. Here's what it's like to use ZipRecruiter. They have so many qualified candidates that it's easier to find the right ones for your roles. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's a lot of needles. So how do they do it? ZipRecruiter's powerful technology sends you candidates who are a great match for your job, and you can even invite your top choices to apply. So if you want less hay and more needles, head to ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free. ZipRecruiter.com/free.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup. You're listening to a radio station that's part of the Civic Media Network. Find more at civicmedia.us.
Because all the hippies are trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. We discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Haley, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
You're absolutely right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Development Institute, Minneapolis.
Yes.
And then also, we have an announcement that's going to be happening tomorrow. This is the Indian Month celebration from the Indian Health Board, which is going to be taking place tomorrow, May 19th. That'll be from noon to 3 p.m. And they're going to have frozen yogurt trucks, themed raffle baskets, a balloon artist, a live DJ, language games, bicycle raffles, a big resource fair, and then lunch is also going to be served until gone. So make sure you get there right away because we all love the food.
Well, I want to do the balloon artist thing. That sounds pretty cool.
Right. And that'll be located at 1315 East 24th Street, Minneapolis.
Right on. We'll bring that up later. Hey, we have Robert Lilligren, CEO of NACD. I did say that one in a row. Native American Community Development Institute. And thank goodness I have a good voice because, boy, my reading skills are always a little to be questioned. Hey, good to see you, Robert. What's going on?
Nice seeing you, Robert. Nice seeing you, Haley. Great to be here.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. A lot going on. Lots happening on the Avenue. We love talking to Robert because we talk about local and national politics and events and things. And Robert's been plugged in for many years, and he gives us his insight and also a lot of great information about what's going on. And I know
Maybe too many years. Maybe I've been plugged in for too many years, Robert.
No, don't say that because I'm right behind you. Oh, wow. Hey, but I am feeling it at the bad shoulder, but that's a different show, I think.
It could be the rain. Right? The bad shoulder.
Exactly. It's been raining for months then. Hey, so we had one of your Ho-Chunk. We had like a whole Ho-Chunk week last week. It was really interesting. We had Danielle DeLong on.
Oh, great.
We had, I can't think of her name off the top of my head, but the first city council member in Madison, and she was Ho-Chunk, and first Native American city council member in Madison, and that was really, really excited. So we're going to have her come back, too.
Cool.
So we talked about the Four Sisters market and what's going on over there. Why don't we jump into that right now? Because a lot's happened and happening.
I love it. Thanks. And again, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure. And I know that you also had on your Ho-Chunk week last week, one of the NACTI staffers, Destiny Jones, our Ho-Chunk sister, who manages our Four Sisters Farmers Market and supports our food sovereignty work, Four Sisters Food Sovereignty. And she's just incredibly talented young Native professional, and we're just our type at NACTI, she's really going places, you know. So we have our Four Sisters, where Four Sisters Farmers Market is what we're kind of known for, and the market season is just about to come on. It starts, and I'm just trying to grab the right date, and I had it here a second ago. June 1st.
It's
Thursday. It's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. right there at our yellow building where Powwow Grounds is and our All My Relations Arts Gallery. So invite people to stop on there. And if folks are interested in being vendors there, you can go to the NACTI website and just follow the links to Four Sisters as a vendor application. So people are welcome to apply. And as you know, it's kind of a happening place on the American Indian Cultural Corridor. Lots of folks show up.
Yeah, you know, I love it. And I put in the suggestion box, Robert, is that you guys should buy one of those big tents, you know, like they have over stadiums, and have it year round in the parking.
Oh, my gosh.
That would be awesome.
Well, and in our longer term vision of our Four Sisters Food Sovereignty work, having a bricks and mortar produce and indigenous butcher shop is part of our vision. That's a little further out, but we are always expanding. The market grows every year. And now we have our Four Sisters Urban Farm as part of our umbrella of Four Sisters Food Sovereignty work. And that is up and running. And I know that when Destiny was here last week, she was previewing or promoting an event that took place at the farm on Saturday, which was incredible. And it was our spring welcoming and food sovereignty celebration. There was maybe, I don't even know how many, a dozen community orgs that were partnering on it. It was the kind of community building that you just love seeing, you know, and everybody there credited the Four Sisters Farm and NACTI's work here as a magnet to bring that kind of community together. It was great. We gave away plants. We had a blessing. We had a song. Mm-hmm. And it was really something.
You know, and that area too was a little dark until you guys came there. And that's so exciting that how something like that can kind of flip an area in a neighborhood.
You are exactly right, Robert. And I'd lived just a few blocks over there for 36 years. And it was just this magnet of violent crime and drug dealing. And it's owned by our county here, Hennepin County. Their rail authority, and they had tried for decades these different strategies to try to just calm that down. The local neighbors tried everything. And a few years back, they came to NACTI, and they asked if we'd be interested in farming there, or if we knew somebody that would. And I was like, oh, I don't know. You know, that's a tough little spot. And after negotiating for quite a while, they essentially gave us not ownership, but access to it to start establishing our farm. And we've been at it for several years now. This is kind of the first big scale up where there's going to be some real production going on. And the neighbors loved it. I mean, these guys that live around there, my old neighbors, literally hauled concrete barriers out to block the streets, just trying to drive away some of the drug dealing and violent crime. And, you know, we started there in ceremony, in prayer. Once we were there doing ceremony, prayer, and gunfire broke out right next to us, and bullets are flying through the leaves, and we all just stood there. Nobody hit the ground. It was like, we're protected here, and it's just a different story in just a few short years, and it's just wonderful to contribute to that kind of positive relationship to land.
Yeah, definitely. And just back to the market, too. It's a great place to spend an hour if you have lunch, nice out, running into people I haven't seen maybe all winter or in a while, and just a lot of fun. And I know they're planning on more music. I know the opening last year or the last few years you've had bands out there, and I heard the Pretendians are going to be out there, and so it's going to be a festival.
We have a DJ that specializes in vintage Native music that's going to be spinning at the opening. And it is. It's just a place for community to come together. It's providing great access to good food for the whole community right around there. We have hooked in all kinds of support for people to be able to buy healthy foods. You can leverage your dollar maybe two or three times through different programs we have going there. But it is just a place to... It's so nice on the... Avenue on the American Indian Cultural Quarter to have a real place to meet and greet and see and be seen and get just gathered together in community.
Exactly. And for me to gander up some votes for next election.
There you go. Always the politician, aren't you, Robert?
Yeah. I learned from the best. Yeah. Well, there's so much more going on, and we got like a minute left here, and I want to really get into that, but you know, I think if people have not been there, I know people from all over the country come to the powwow grounds and to all my relations art gallery as a stopping point. So I just want to welcome everyone there. Maybe we can just give the address one more time, especially to our people in Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's 1414 East Franklin. It's right on the corner of Franklin Avenue and 15th Street. You can't miss it. It's a bright yellow building. And also, there's so much going on for Indian Month, right? So we have our open house next Tuesday, the 23rd, 11:30 to 2. Everyone's welcome. Lunch, music, fun, drawings. It's a party, and it just helps build the community and really embrace American Indian Month in Minnesota. It's not November. We celebrate November as well, but in Minnesota, we have American Indian Month in May. So if folks want to stop on down next Tuesday for lunch, that would be great.
That's perfect. And I recommend you get a balloon artist, because that sounds pretty exciting at the other event that we talked about. But hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, CEO of NACD, Native American Community Development Institute, and here in the Minneapolis and the Twin City areas. We'll be right back after this short break. Stay with us. I heard sex trafficking happens a lot in Indian country. What is that?
Here are some of the real reasons why sex trafficking happens in Indian country. Unequal gender roles that were forced on us by colonization. Communities don't have enough resources. Silence around domestic and sexual violence. Lack of attention and justice for missing and murdered indigenous people. There's a lot of behavior that keeps our communities out of balance. These are just a few true reasons why Native communities are targeted by traffickers. When these acts of violence happen in our communities, it opens us all up for exploitation.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses and light rail for just $30 with a summer student pass. From June 1st through September 5th, students can get unlimited rides on buses and trains up to a $3.25 fare. For a list of participating schools and to purchase a pass, visit metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass. Again, that's metrotransit.org/summer-student-pass.
When it comes to mental health, making connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Connections can bring comfort, hope, and joy. Find ways that work for yourself and others, like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, creating space to listen. Visit cmentalhealth.org. That's cmentalhealth.org. cmentalhealth.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. the good stuff.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Yes, they do. They do great work over there. And again, Friday, there's happenings over there from 10 to 3, and it's Indian month, so we're all excited about that. I'm here again with Robert Lilligren, CEO of NACT, and we're talking about what's happening on the avenue and the great history and the great vibe and the garden. Let's talk a little bit, if you don't mind. Let's go into the political realm here, because we talk a little bit about, I'm proud to be a Minnesotan, and I'm living in the Twin Cities. I live in St. Paul, but there's things happening that people are moving here because of the laws are changing in other states. There's things that are happening really progressively here. We have a trifecta at the Capitol for us, and you know, there's an election every year in Minneapolis, right, Robert?
Oh, yeah. We're busy, yeah. And so the trifecta that Robert's talking about is, of course, our governor's office, our Senate, and our House are all controlled by the Democratic Party, or here we have the Democratic Farmer Labor Party, or GFL. And man, those guys are governing for efficiency this session. More stuff has got done this session than I've seen in decades. And I was just talking to someone about this earlier today who didn't like something that was happening. But I think whether you like it or not, I think people appreciate when something gets done in government. So these guys have just done an amazing job. And I happen to agree with most of what they're doing.
Right. I have a question, too. Like, let's say we found out that the Saving the Wolf bill wasn't in the omnibus bill for next time. Can that be brought up next year in next session? And how does that work? Do they take a session off for bills, or is it straight through for next year?
Yeah, anything's fair game. You know, anything that you can get the majority of votes for, I guess, is fair game. And I'm not a state legislative expert, but yeah, so it can come up next year. It can continue to come up. Often that's the pathway a bill takes. It may take more than one session to gain all the support that it needs. This year happens to be a bonding year, whether they bond or not. And so that's every other session is a bonding year. But even in a bonding year or an off bonding year, you know, pretty much anything policy related can be brought up.
Yeah, that's good. And I know we have that great bill, and we have that office for missing and murdered indigenous relatives. And that took a year or so to get through. And it's a bipartisan bill now, you know, and support.
Yep. That's a great example. And then, you know, at first there's the policy piece, right? Do we create this office or not? This office for missing and murdered indigenous relatives. And then once that threshold's met, then it's putting money toward it, right? And that's always another conversation. And so really hats off to now Senator Mary Kunesh for starting that when she was in the House and seeing that through and making sure that that continues to gain that bipartisan support that you're talking about. Now it's a normal thing, right, talk about, which it should be an elevated conversation. So that's a really good example.
And she's really pushing the license plate, too, that could help support rewards for missing and murdered indigenous women and relatives, which I think is a brilliant idea, because I want to get one of those plates.
Right. And so that's another, you know, the policy's one thing, the money's another thing. Mm-hmm. So hats off to our Native legislators who are, and all, and our allies who are really moving this forward.
Yeah. You know, and we talked a little bit about how it seems like every year now we have an election in Minneapolis.
We do.
And people are watching us.
Right. So it's 7 years in a row we'll have elections every year. Sometimes municipal, you know, state. Of course, next year it's the federal elections and state elections, a big year. But every single year for 7 years, we have elections here in Minneapolis. And we're about in the middle of that right now, maybe the third year. And so So at our organization, NACDI, we have our Make Voting a Tradition project. It's almost 10 years old, and it's a year-round political and civic engagement effort for not just the local urban Indian community. We're now statewide, expanding statewide and looking for more partners in the greater Minnesota area. And then we're part of national conversations about what these Native-specific strategies might look like in 2024. And it's interesting. And so here in Minneapolis, we have about the lowest touch elections this year. It's strictly city council, no mayor even, no other municipal offices. And so we're really getting a flavor for how these different parts of the city, wards we call them, like districts, are thinking politically. And we've had quite a shift to the left in our municipal government, especially since George Floyd was murdered here. And then we have the status quo that's, you know, well, the status quo always defends itself. So they're strategizing, you know, to retain power and sort of message that these socialists or these more left politicians are just a blip and they don't really represent the city. But numbers show something going on here in the city. And so I happen to think this isn't just a blip and this is a philosophical, political, and generational shift. And I think we're going to see a similar kind of dynamic in the national elections next year.
You know, it's interesting that you say that because I feel like in our lifetime, we've gone through many, many shifts. And, you know, being a child of the 60s with human rights, African-American, Native rights, BIPOC rights, then we've gone all the way up to, gay marriage was a thing 10 years prior to that. It was like, oh no, that's a hot button. Don't touch right. that. And it's become just a reality. You know, those right. are things in our life, just a couple examples in our lifetime right. that right. seem so off topic is now just natural.
Right. Yeah. Marriage equality became the law of the land. The sky didn't fall, you know, the earth didn't crumble. Everything kind of just went on. Right. So we learned something. And, you know, and here in Minnesota, we have a very robust progressive sort of population. We also have a very robust conservative population. In just my experience, my few decades in the political world, there were always these alternative parties that tried to build up, you know, the Progressive Party, Progressive Minnesota, and things like that. And so that's just part of our political culture. Here, but I'll tell you, back in 2008, kind of a, you know, when I was deeply involved in politics and I was a delegate to the Democratic National Convention in Denver, that was the year that we nominated then Senator Obama for president. And man, you could feel that generational current. We talked about it a lot. You know, I was kind of more in the middle. Now I'm definitely on the elder side of the ledger, but then I was kind of in the middle, like a bridge between generations, and we were very serious, you know. And I really saw what I then called and still call the new electorate activating. And it's like, okay, now how do we transfer to that? You know, how do we support this shift? And you know, it's been kind of bumpy on the way, and you know, we're maybe partway there, but ultimately, it's a numbers game, right? There's more votes in that sector now than
right.
in the old sector, and so we got to figure it out and how we do this in a good and orderly way.
You know, and I'm a broken record, and especially when we're talking, is that we have so much gratitude to the Gen Xers, you know, really. And they're paying attention and they're realizing that they're not going to live as long. They're not going to own houses. They're not going to go to college unless they own two house payments. And they're engaged in... This is, I think, the last year that the boomers are going to outnumber them.
Right, right. And so, it's just been very interesting. I've been kind of splicing and dicing some municipal election results over the last year or so. And you can just see, you know, we had a referendum here in Minneapolis to reform our government from a strong council system to a strong mayor that prevailed. Very mm-hmm. close election. By a majority of wards in the city voted against it. And so when you look at the demographics of those wards, the ones who voted against it tended to be browner, poorer, younger. The ones that voted for it that ultimately passed it, a minority of wards, I will add, were older, whiter, richer. And so to me, you're seeing that, you know, that status quo desperately trying to cling to power while there's a whole nother electric churning.
Wow. And it's interesting. Obama was our age, and I always kind of felt that he was a centrist, and he kind of proved that in a lot of different ways.
I think, well, he was younger than us, or at least than me. He was the first president, even way back then, that was ever younger than me. And I thought that was pretty cool. And I think, you know, you have to govern
from our little corner of the world where the Pack, the Crew, and the Bucks all rule.
This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Police have arrested a driver who crashed through the gates of Vatican City and blew right past security. CBS's Anna Matrenga is in Rome.
A statement from the Holy See said the car was driven by a man about 40 years of age with obvious psychiatric problems who voluntarily gave himself up.
A panel is now urging the FDA to approve RSV shots for pregnant women to protect their babies from the virus. Dr. Celine Gounder.
A phase 3 trial of the vaccine in over 7,000 women found that the RSV vaccine was over 80% effective in preventing severe RSV out to 3 months and almost 70% effective out to 6 months.
Actors could go on strike in Hollywood soon if their union can't renegotiate its contract next month. Attorney Jonathan Handel.
If they do go on strike, it will be the first time since 1960 that both the writers and actors are on strike simultaneously.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinair. Here's what you need to know. Mequon police shot and killed a man Wednesday afternoon while responding to a neighbor dispute involving a gun. The Wisconsin Department of Justice says officers responded to a report of shots fired and found the man barricaded in a home. When he exited, the man fired at officers, at which time he was shot and killed. No officers were injured. The Mequon officer involved in the shooting has been placed on administrative leave. The number of stolen vehicles are on the rise in Waukesha County. The Waukesha County Sheriff's Office has responded to multiple calls for entry into unlocked cars, resulting in at least 5 cars being stolen from the town of Delafield, city of Pewaukee, Sussex, Merton, and Lannan. Nearly all were taken after the vehicle's keys or fobs were left inside of the unlocked vehicle. I'm Jane Matinair. This is Civic Media News.
So, I have a question for all you guys out there. Why is it that I see you hauling all kinds of stuff in your trucks? Lumber, ATVs, furniture, and everything is strapped down tight, except you. I mean, come on, fellas. You're just as important as your buddy's blue plaid sofa. Buckle up.
Pickups rock. They also roll. Buckle up in your truck and arrive alive. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Transportation.
Real Chili's been serving up mouth-watering goodness to the people of Milwaukee since 1931. Their famous secret award-winning chili recipe is the same as it was back then and a local treasure. From lunch to dinner to late-night breakfast, Real Chili has you covered. And now you can bring the Real Chili to your next party, tailgate, wedding, or office gathering with their unbeatable catering options. And don't forget about their Real Love Party Packs, perfect for small groups and pick up from their 2 convenient locations, downtown Milwaukee and near Marquette University campus. Visit them at realchili.com. That's realchili.com. We're all familiar with the 3 whys. What is it? What can it do for me? And what does it cost? At Country Financial, we can help you find the answers with insurance coverage to help protect what's most important to you, all at a price you can afford. So while you're juggling work and kids while trying to keep an eye on your future, we'll make sure we're one of the first ones there when you need us most. What should you do next? Call Matthew Holbrook, your Country Financial representative at 414-332-2137 and chat about your insurance needs today. 414-332-2137.
The four most dreaded words.
My computer is down.
Oh boy, that bites. Remain sane. PC and Pat Together will fix the pain. Rated number one PC doctor in Southeast Wisconsin. Great service, great rates, and fast service with no trip charge. Experts with PCs, laptops, network servers, protection, backups, and can even help you remotely. Click PCandPat.com or call us at 262-706-3235. That's 262-706-3235.
Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Robert Lilligren, and I know we're going to make this 12-minute segment go really fast. But we're really, I'm always have a good time when we talk, Robert, and you get me energized, and we talk a lot of way things were, the way things are, our history of our people, the history of the country. I love history, so it's always fun to talk to you and just to see what's going on now and compared to when we were younger and all those things. So I appreciate you being on. And we were talking a little politics there and a little Obama and how things have changed over the years. And I don't know if we've talked about this, but I read somewhere that there's like an 80-year cycle. And whether it's like fascism comes up in the United States and goes down. And they talk about that all the way from the Civil War, because in a lot of sense, that war was about slavery and economic development and right and wrong and left and right. And then we've had like an 80-year cycle or a 40-year cycle ever since. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Yeah, the 40-year cycle idea, I've heard a little about that. I'm not really a political scientist or historian. I'm more of a practitioner. But I do believe it's cyclic, right? We do see it. I've heard that 40-year, which would then, you know, be consistent with an 80-year cycle. And to me, it's interesting to be in one, you know, we must be peaking in some sort of cycle around division and polarization. And I think that's been part of our political culture from the beginning of this country, but it really is spiking right now. And to be living in it is a little less fun than reading about it as history, right? But it's about seeing how our public figures, our politicians, you know, how they express themselves, right? And that kind of gives permission to broader communities to express themselves, and the kind of blatant racism, anti-Semitism, homophobia, transphobia that we're seeing today, I never thought we'd see. Like we were talking about in the last segment, I didn't know that we would move towards marriage equality so quickly. Mm-hmm. That is good, but this backlash of, you know, we had a black president, and right. You know, so all of a sudden we have this incredibly racist culture, we have marriage equality, and we have this incredibly homophobic movements going on, you know, the anti-Semitic movements, the anti-trans movements, you know, this thing about drag queens. Yeah. So what difference does it make? Well, I guess to some people it makes a lot of difference.
Right.
And that's rooted in misogyny, homophobia, transphobia.
Well, you know,
a little shocking.
I heard a great quote yesterday, and I can't remember what it was, a local politician in a different state that they were really going to hammer down on abortion rights. And and she said something very interesting that is just one of those common sense things that we don't think of because we're in the middle of the battle. But she said, I don't remember women asking you for help in this.
Right. It's exactly the point, right? And it's, you know, it just shows again that misogyny, sexism, it's hurting people. It's killing people.
Right.
You know, and so you have these sort of sanctity of life believers that are really pushing an agenda that's really killing people. And so it's inconsistent. It was settled law, incredibly popular law. There was no reason for it to be overturned by the Supreme Court, you know, Supreme Court with a very clear agenda to be taking people's rights away. And so I think that means everybody should be concerned about what rights they're going to be losing under this kind of a regime.
Well, you know, and we're not political scientists, but we talk about a little bit about what we experienced in the religious right in the Reagan era was the beginning of this. And
of this period, right? So you talk about those cycles.
Right.
And this
right.
kind of puritanical politics has always been part of it. Yeah, remember all that? The moral majority, which was neither right. moral nor a majority, and right. the Contract for America, you know, Newt Gingrich's big plan. I mean, that was really the framework that we're living in today.
And they named it the Contract on America. That's what it ended up being.
Contract on America. That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And we know that, you know, he divorced his wife while she was in the hospital with cancer, and still was a great Republican leader as far as they were concerned. Yeah. And then those are things that I think about. And I also think about, like, Reagan deregulated so many things. There was a middle class at that time, and now there isn't a middle class because of the unions aren't as strong as they were when we were kids. Your dad was in a union at CCO, I'm sure.
He retired from it.
Yeah. I was a teacher. And so it's amazing that one of the deregulations is media. And if you remember back then, you could only own two stations in one state.
Right.
Yep. And that's why the Hubbard Broadcasting was all over the five-state area, and CCO was their own element. They weren't owned by CBS. And and those are the things that we're kind of fighting back now because, God, Rush Limbaugh had a popular audience for so many years because of that.
Right. Well, and the deregulation of media. I mean, just look at all the Reagan-era deregulation efforts, the airlines, whatever. The one we live with day in and day out here was the deregulation of the social safety network, especially for people with mental illness or addiction or in experiencing homelessness. Now we have these enormous homelessness encampments, people living unsheltered, relatives living unsheltered, because there isn't the robust support that that folks require to live in a safer, more sustainable way. That was all Reagan deregulation, his political cronies applauded it at the time, and now a few decades later we're still living with the outcomes.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because I don't think people talk about that enough, that deregulation helps spur this, you know, whether it's people that shouldn't have guns or people that are homeless and that can and you know, with mental illness that need help. I know we refer back to the law of forgotten natives, but there was a lot of people there that felt safe there and not safe in other situations where possibly, you know, if we were back to the prior to Reagan deregulation, they'd have a place to live and feel safe. Right.
They'd have a place to be in community, right? And that's what I felt was happening at the Wall of Forgotten Natives. People had community there. It wasn't necessarily healthy or safe, but it was community. And just last night, Robert, I had this opportunity as a member of our Metropolitan Council, which is our regional governing body here, seven county metro government. And we had presentations from our young leaders, interns. They were working in policy areas, and these are young people, high school age, who are incredibly interested in public policy and how public policy can support progress. And a lot of the groups, there were maybe 10 of them, presented on housing or intersections of like housing and transportation or housing and jobs. And what so many of them lifted up was housing is not just accessible because it's affordable, but it helps build community, builds play, a sense of place, connection to the land, connection, you know, feelings of belonging. Mm-hmm. So this idea of community was just really prominent in so many of these presentations. And where in policy do we address that? You know, we talk about affordable housing as being 30% of the metropolitan median income or X percentage of someone's monthly household income. But where do we say this housing is supporting building community or building a sense of belonging? Wow. And that's what these young people were asking for.
Wow. Wow. I really need to think about that. That's really deep and has a lot of little antennas out there for thought.
Lots of them. You can go to the Metropolitan Council website. If you look at the Committee of the Whole agenda, you can see every one of their presentations. They are breathtaking.
Wow. That is breathtaking. You know, Haley, I know you are listening intently and running things in the background here. Do you ever have a question for Robert at all? And it's okay if you don't, because I know you're working hard back there, but it's amazing to have people like Robert on the show. And Haley's been working with us for 3 weeks now, and we've been just having kick butt guests as usual. And it's just been a learning experience, and it always is for me, right, Haley?
Absolutely. No, I agree 100%. And I'm always very grateful for you, Dega, and this opportunity to come work with you guys and talk to people like you, Robert, who are just doing so much in the community. And yeah, it's like a free little class for me. So I love learning, and this is amazing. So thanks.
And me too. I appreciate that, Haley. It's I'm constantly remembering things and learning things when we talk, Robert.
Yeah, no, cool. And Haley, it's great to be here with you, and it's great to be on the show. I have been joking lately, and maybe you've heard this already, but I've been a lot more, my mom would have said mouthy lately. I think maybe I'd say forthcoming or direct, but the people around me are kind of supporting it. They go, this is what we expect from our elders. We want this kind of directness, you know, this guidance. And so I don't want to be a crab apple all the time, but I'm much more speaking my mind. And like I said, both with my Native relatives and outside the Native community, I'm getting a lot of positive feedback about it. So watch out.
Well, I think what's really great for that, it really and seriously, because I've always appreciated people that are that way. And, you know, Wendy's from New York, so she's always that way. But you never really have to guess where you're coming from. And I do too, seriously appreciate that. Yeah. I really do. Cool.
Right. Well, and I, you know, as I've expressed concern, you know, I've built a public profile and a career on being a nice guy, right? And so how far can I push that before I lose ground? So I guess we'll find out.
Well, if you say it with a smile, like we said, Lena always did, you got the ones that are worried, confused, and the other ones are going, go get them, Robert. Right.
Say it with a smile and a laugh like Marlene Hagemann did.
That's right. Hey, thanks so much, Robert. It's always so great to have you on, and can't wait to talk again. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Pinigigi Robert Lilligren of Native American Community Development Institute. We'll be right back after the short break. Please stay with us.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
When it comes to mental health, connections with others can be a way forward. How do you reach out when you need someone? What do you do to support those who struggle? Whether you're struggling or know someone who struggles, see connections as comfort, hope, and joy. Like sending a text, sharing a moment, offering a hug, seeing an old friend, seeing your grandma. Together we can find ways to create a path forward. Visit cmentalhealth.org. Visit cmentalhealth.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
No one should have to choose between a paycheck and their health. Whether it's for a new baby, an unexpected illness, or an aging parent, Minnesotans deserve time to care for themselves and their families. That's why Minnesota Democrats are fighting for all working people to have paid family and medical leave. The time is now. Contact your legislator and tell them to pass paid family and medical leave for Minnesota. Learn more at paidleavemn.org. That's paidleavemn.org. Paid for by the Minnesota AFL-CIO.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Wow. Hey, part two, Wendy.
Yeah, this one's going to be a lot better, a lot happier and lighthearted. You know, Robert, I didn't even realize that I wasn't even planning on talking about the squirrels.
Well, that's what's great about live radio. You can just kind of...
It's really heavy on my mind, and it really, honestly, you know, when you see something like that and you see an animal struggle and really suffer like that, it really, to me, really, I just can't even watch it. I mean, it was heartbreaking. It was like, do we have a 40-foot ladder in our house? I was going to go on our property and get the squirrel down, you know.
Exactly.
You know, so it's just a hard thing. I'm glad we looked today. I made kind of a ruckus. I've called that company and told them what's happening and talked to them about the squirrels and my concern, and I don't see any traps up there now. There might be traps up there. They might be like, you know what, we need to get these traps out of these people's view, and they might have put them somewhere else, but anyway, there's always a more humane way to do things. Sometimes it might be a little bit harder, it takes a little bit longer, but there's always the humane way to do things, and that's what I want
just
people to think about, you know, because these companies, Robert, they tell you, we do it the most humane way possible. We relocate the squirrels where there's food sources. You know, this is what this guy was telling me. So he's telling me all these good things, but...
So we're going to do another segment on this, or no?
I'm not.
No, what
I'm
do?
Done talking about
no,
it.
I'm
and
not.
I have a fun
Wait,
story I want to share.
Give me one second. I want to just say one thing.
Yeah.
It's horrific. It was a horrific experience for both of us. And these are our relatives. And I just want to throw that out there, too, because everywhere I looked to break them out, Wendy, it said that how inhumane it was to put them in a different area.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that.
Right. You said article after article that you looked up. How inhumane that was to relocate them because they are so territorial.
All right.
Thank you. Okay. All right. Enough about the squirrels.
Stay with us.
Yes, exactly. So a lot of you may have heard about the bald eagle named Murphy.
Yes.
Yes. He's been all over the internet. So he's from Missouri and he lives in a sanctuary, the World Bird Sanctuary in Missouri. So Murphy has been there for a really long time because he has a broken wing or a wing that's deformed or something. Well, he can't fly. So he's been there. He's 31 years old. And what happened about a month ago was because the weather changes and, you know, it's like the season to have babies and stuff. Murphy found a rock that he was incubating.
Wow.
So what they found was Murphy went, he found a bunch of sticks and he's on the ground, right? Because he can't fly. So he's not in a tree or anything, but he kind of made this little nest that he thought was a nest. It wasn't much of a nest, but he put the rock in there and he was incubating the rock. He would get up and turn the rock.
Would he
would sit on the rock. He would squawk at the other eagles that would come around to say, you know, to protect the rock. And he really, you know, did this. And, you know, the sanctuary thought, well, this is so cute and everything. But how sad is it that he thinks this rock is going to hatch and have a baby eagle? And as far as the sanctuary knows, he's never had any eaglets of his own. And just to say, eagles, bald eagles together, the male and the female co-parent. So they're both very involved. And this explains Murphy's behavior, right?
Yeah.
So what happened was, they found an eaglet, that's mom died.
Come on.
Yeah. So they did.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So they brought they took the rock out, right? They had to sneak the rock out when Murphy wasn't looking, right? And they put this eaglet behind kind of a little bit of a fence so that Murphy could see him, but not really touch him because honestly, they really didn't know how he was going to react when he saw it. You know, he could have killed it, right? Really.
Right.
But what happened was Murphy is turning out to be a pretty good stepdad.
Oh.
Yeah, he's feeding the eaglet and is on his best behavior. And he's really bonding with this little eaglet. And there's so many pictures on the internet. So all you have to do is Google Murphy Eagle, and it'll tell you about the whole story. And it really is quite heartwarming, and just goes to show like how animals really want to nurture and care for the young, right? And bring in, he's feeding the little eagle. It's really, really, really cute. It's adorable. And it's just like a really, really heartwarming story. I have another story. It's kitten season. So it's kitten season right now. And I'm going to go bad news now. So bad news. God. But then I'm going to go good news.
Oh, okay.
So St. Paul and Minneapolis Animal Care and Control is getting more kittens and cats right now than they know what to do with. They have more cats. So this is the first time in years that they're euthanizing cats.
Oh, my God.
Because they just don't have enough room.
No.
There's just not enough people out there who want cats,
wow.
Right? So they're overwhelmed with these cats. And it's also kitten season. So all the rescues are really looking for fosters.
Mm.
So if you have room in your house and you could foster, honestly, Robert, I would foster. But right now we have 3 sick animals in our house. So we really can't.
It's really like 6 animals.
It is. It's a lot. But anyway, if you could foster, it's really helpful. And when you foster, you're really saving 2 animals' lives, right? You've saving the animal that you're fostering so that animal does not get euthanized. And you're also making room for another animal to come in to rescue.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So also, baby bunnies are being born right now.
Oh, my God.
You know, bunnies, I'm sorry, I'm going to say this on the air. They're not the smartest animals.
Oh.
So listen, they make their nest in the ground, like in the middle of your yard. Our neighbor who moved away, she used to have a hunting dog, and the hunting dog would go out there every day, every day, every day. What did she have in her backyard? The bunny built a nest in the middle of her yard when there's a hunting dog on the property every day. Like, that's not very smart,
no.
I'm sorry to say. But our neighbor was really awesome. What she did was she put like a little fencing around the...
Really?
Yeah, she put a fence around the nest so the dog couldn't get in it, but the mother bunny could go in and out of the nest and feed her young, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was really happy about that. But, you know, A lot of people will see the baby bunnies in the nest in the ground, and say, "Oh my God, I have to rescue them. I need to bring them, you know, somewhere." But you don't leave them alone. What you want to do is make like a what they say is like get some twigs and put them around the nest, or get some yarn and put it around the nest, or put flour around the nest so that you'll be able to see whether the mom is going back and forth and feeding the babies, right?
Wow.
You could also, if the mother's not around, you could pick up one of the babies, turn them upside down and look at their belly. And if you see a nice little round belly, you know that the bunny has milk in it, and you know that the bunny is safe.
Jeez.
And you could pick up the bunny. The mom's not going to say, "Oh, I'm not taking care of my baby anymore because a human touched it." That doesn't happen. So you want to keep your animals out of the area. Use grass twigs to make a little tic-tac-toe pattern over the nest to assess whether the mother is returning to nurse the young. Leave them alone. If you really know that the mom's not coming along, you know, coming around and feeding the babies, and you turn them upside down and the baby's belly is really skinny, you want to call your local wildlife rehabilitation center to take further action.
All right, on Wendy. Hey, Pina Gigi, for being on half the show. It's like the old days of Pilots Progressive Party.
I have more. Do you want more?
next week.
All right.
Or maybe even tomorrow. Hey, if you're listening to the show, you're part of the resistance. Free Leonard Peltier now. We are the 7th generation.
Students at participating Twin Cities high schools can get a summer's worth of rides on buses.
If you're tired of the government and economy only working for the wealthy, then it's time to join our Wisconsin Revolution. Our Wisconsin Revolution's mission is to make Wisconsin a true democracy by challenging the establishment and pushing for policies that benefit the working class. Policies affecting our everyday lives, economics, the environment, and social justice. Restore education and bring fundamental change to Wisconsin and join Our Wisconsin Revolution today. Log on to OurWisconsinRev.com. That's OurWisconsinRev.com.
Real Chili's been serving up mouth-watering goodness to the people of Milwaukee since 1931. Their famous secret award-winning chili recipe is the same as it was back then, and a local treasure. From lunch to dinner to late-night breakfast, Real Chili has you covered. And now you can bring the Real Chili to your next party, tailgate, wedding, or office gathering with their unbeatable catering options. And don't forget about their Real Love Party Packs, perfect for small groups, and pick up from their two convenient locations, downtown Milwaukee and near Marquette University campus. Visit them at realchili.com. That's realchili.com.